deserves our praise. He's the worthy God. As a matter of fact, let's do this. Let's make up for Wednesday night right now in praise and worship. Let's stand and just exalt him for a few moments. Just honor him. We honor the King of Kings. We honor the Lord. Hallelujah. Great God of power. We honor you. We praise you. We know we wouldn't be here without you. Great God, thank you for loving us. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, touch the sick today, Lord. Touch Brother Josh Sandy. We pray, God, and the kids, and touch them with your mercy and love them. Amen. And anybody else, touch Brother Tim, touch Chris and Jennifer. You got to know this, that every week it can be like, it can just be crazy. You know, we try to figure things out. We do our homework. Sometimes we have little conferences on the phone with people. And so I was hoping we could have church, but I wanted to do all the homework and make sure that we were safe. And, you know, if we call for church, we've done some homework. And many of you know how much of that we do behind the scenes. And so I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad he's here. Notice I didn't say they're here. I'm glad God's not a committee. Praise God. Do you know what a camel is? A camel is a horse planned by a committee. That's what somebody said. I never forgot it. A camel is a horse that was planned by a committee. Didn't go real well. Praise God. Continue also to remember Sister Esther. She's amazing. And she's a sweetheart. And she has grown. I think Brother Thad would amen this. She has grown in her anointing to sing and minister. And so coming through surgery, she's very, very precious to us and to God as well. Open your Bibles, if you would, for a few moments. Got a real short scripture I want to start with. Appreciate the anointing that was on our praise team. Goodness, do you catch that? You can tell these guys are for real. They're not just, I've been some places where I think somebody had too many cans of Diet Coke or something. That was all about that and breaks. And you can tell these people have been worshiping and praying. And you can feel that when they sing. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's palpable. It's tangible. I don't want to ever take them for granted. They really, really help us. 2 Corinthians, if you would, the second book, Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7. This was such a short verse. And actually, when I went to my Bible app that gives me a verse each day, I don't read it every day, that particular one. But once in a while, I'll just go to it, especially on a Sunday, to see if it matches what I had been feeling. And it did. And I thought, oh my goodness, wow, such a short verse. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Is that succinct or what? Brother Tim, you're watching, I'm sure. I dedicate that word to you, succinct. You love big words. It's so brief. It's so to the point, isn't it? So it doesn't say, for we walk by virus. I'm just going to throw that out as a thought. Because lately it seems like, if we're not careful, we're messed over at times because we're running in fear when we should be walking by faith. Praise God. Praise God. So listen to it from the Amplified. For we walk by faith, not by sight, living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises. Has God promised to watch over us? Has he promised to heal us? He didn't say, well, I'll heal you except unless it's viral. Don't bring me nothing viral. I can't heal colds. I can't heal viruses. I can't. Don't bring me nothing viral. He didn't say that, did he? As a matter of fact, compared to other things that he's healed us of, and others even in the scriptures of, a virus kind of seems kind of tiny like it is. Except we let the news media and all the quote-unquote doctors, and God bless her. By the way, thank God for good doctors. Man, I thank God for good hospitals. I've never been in a town that had more hospitals. I mean, ever lived in a town that has this many hospitals. Thank God for great nurses, and we got people in our church, and thank God for great nurses. But also, I want to thank God for His Word. So I want to pose a short little question for you and for me. Is it faith or senses? Okay? Is it faith or senses? When he said, "For we walk by faith, not by sight," it was a reference to what some people would call our chief natural sense. Right? How many senses do we have? Well, Pastor, in my billfold, I've got 5 cents. I've got 6 cents. Let's name them real quick before we pray. Sight. Hearing. Taste. Touch. Smell. I think we got through them, didn't we? Okay, so when he refers to sight, it's almost like he's using, I think he could be using that to sort of stand for the whole collection, the committee of senses. So do we walk by senses, which would be very tempting? Or do we walk by faith? Is it faith or senses? And let me just tell you right now, your senses can play games with you. And we need to have a strong grip on the Word of God and His promises. Let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You for the wonderful worship it's been in Your house. It's good to be in Your house today, Lord. We come rejoicing. We come praising You. We come reaching for You, Lord. We come believing. We come believing. Hallelujah. Show Yourself. Would You ask Him to do that? Show Yourself, Lord, in this house today, Lord. Manifest Your presence. Manifest Your power, Lord. Wonderful God. Let's give Him Hosanna, our clapping of our hands.
Amen. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. You may be seated.
Praise God. Understanding how faith operates can help us attract His power, His healing, and His presence, because God responds to faith. I got to tell you a little story. I haven't even told my wife this story. True story. Happened to me this past week. I'm always having new experiences. It's exciting. And I'm driving down the road, and I'm headed toward Big Bob's Carpet Store, Lincoln Village. Lincoln Village is not my favorite place because I don't often have a bulletproof vest. Do you understand what I'm saying? But anyhow, there's a great carpet store there, and they've been a blessing to us. And you ever get like a taste in your mouth, sort of like, oh, this kind of, my mouth kind of tastes funky. I need a mint. Nobody, by the way, I got a mint up here that's just, it's flirting with me. It's talking to me. I forgot this mint was up here all by itself, lonely, deserted, and just dealing, talking, and bequeathing, and, or, you know, beseeching me to use it. So I might use this. But anyway, I don't know if it'd been because I'd had a cup of coffee, and you never want to die with coffee on your breath. So I'm not sure what it was, but I carry different things. Usually, if you looked in my suits, and I just got this from the dry cleaners, so I've only got one thing in here, and it's something that I'm going to show you here in a minute. But I usually have different mints and different lozenges and different things and stuff in the office. And man, I'm just loaded for bear. I could not find a mint in the car. I couldn't find a mint in my briefcase. And I carry all that stuff. I could probably survive on an island for a few weeks if I had my briefcase, my iPad, my iPhone, and a satellite. And I couldn't, I'd used them all up. And so I had that funky taste in my mouth, and I don't know if I said it. I think I might have. I don't know. Man, I wish I had a mint, because I know I thought it. So I'm almost to the store, and I pull in, and I park, and I'm just down the line from the front door, and I get out of my vehicle, and there's a sweet Hispanic lady. Muy bueno. Chance to use my Spanish. But she looked at me and she apologized for something. And I couldn't figure out what she was apologizing about. So I just sort of like tried to deftly like, oh, no problem or whatever. You know, I didn't even know why she was apologizing. So, but she was so nice. You ever been around somebody that's just so nice that you instantly like them? So I'm going to start to move toward the carpet store, and she says to me, would you like some Halloween candy? What am I missing here? I've never seen this woman before. Halloween is at least 3 weeks and more away. It's not Halloween now. And if it was, Halloween is not my favorite time in the year, because I'm not into spooks and goblins. I cast them out. Okay? I dislodge them. So they don't like me, I don't like them. Okay? So Halloween is not one of my favorite words. But I understand that people, you know, that they make it a day, you know, a special day for them. So what a question. Brother Welch, I looked at her, and how do you, somebody that's really nice, you know, it's like you might not like something, but just because they're just so nice. Oh, yeah. And I'm in my brain, I'm thinking, what kind of Halloween candy? It's going to be some craziness. It's going to be something that I know I cannot justify. The just shall live by faith, right? I'm not going to be able to justify candy from Halloween. It wasn't that Halloween canceled out its virtue, if it has any. It's just the weight loss thing, okay? So she puts her hand out. I'm going to show you what she gave me. Ah, here we go. You ready? She gave me several of these mints. Lifesaver. Why? I mean, when I think of Halloween candy, I don't think of Lifesaver mints. Like, how would you like? Knock, knock. Do you have any Halloween? Do you have any Lifesaver mints? And so I took them. There were three or four of them into my hand, and I tried to express, you know, because it was so thoughtful of her. And then it dawned on me, God heard me say or and think, man, I wish I had a mint. Man, I wish I had a mint. Ho! If my mouth smells like it tastes, I'm in trouble. I'm going into a carpet store, and they might just fall under the power when they get close to me. You know, they might be overwhelmed with my coffee breath or whatever it is I'm carrying. More dangerous than a virus or anything else. I've got to have some help. I need a mint. So he has a lady What are the odds? What are the odds that 3 to 4 weeks from Halloween, somebody sees you or me in a parking lot and wants to give us some candy, and it just happens to be what we desperately need? And then I kind of tripped out on that. Do you know what I mean? I got to thinking, he loves to bless us. He listens to what we say. He knows what we need. Right down to a mint. And it wasn't no hotel leaving a light on for us and a mint on the bed. It wasn't nothing like that. I didn't pay for it. I didn't do nothing to deserve it. Just like the way he blesses us. I want you to know you're living for a God that sees your every need, no matter how small it may appear to you. Oh, lift your hands and let's exalt him. He wants to help us. He wants to bless us right down to little things that we don't think he even notices. But his eye is on the sparrow. And his eye is on you and me. And he's watching over us. Let's give him a hand of praise. What an amazing God. What an amazing God. And it reminds me of that scripture in Psalms 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. This is the King James. And they're going to put up Amplified Classic. But delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I needed something to save my breath. I needed salvational breath. I needed redemptive breath. I needed some help. And so he hires a lady who never had seen me, as far as I know, had never met me, never seen her before, to hand me in a parking lot, to ask me a question. Would I like some Halloween candy? From the Amplified Classic, Psalms 37, 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. He loves to bless us. I wish we could bless him. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Would you bless his heart? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalms 103, those first few verses. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So, it just blessed me. It dawned on me that he just did something really special for me. And it amazes me how he looks on us and how he, of course, in his omniscience, understands, Sister Tiffany, before we ever even ask him. Isn't it neat? He can just, okay, he knows our thoughts. If we said it, he heard what we said. And will many times do something for us just because he loves us. So my question comes back to the title today. Is it faith or senses? Now, I'm gonna just sort of slow down here a little bit. And I'm going to bring somebody up here to help me a little bit. Let's see. Brother Scott, come up and help me. All right. I've got a little bottle of cologne. Okay. And I want you to stand behind me and hold this bottle. All right. I want you to spray a little bit on your wrist, or I don't know where you spray your cologne. That's another study in itself. Some people have a very unique application history. We will not go there. So, okay. Brother Scott, okay, you're behind me. I trust, I believe that you're behind me, just as I believe that God is behind me, helping me. Praise God. Okay, did you put some on your wrist or there? Okay. Now, I'm standing here, and I cannot see that bottle of cologne right now. Small bottle to begin with. I believe it's Sierra, isn't it? Take a look at the bottle. Oh, Stetson Black. Okay. Nice try, Bishop. So, it's one of the better colognes that I've used. I can't see it. So it must mean that it's not there, right? Wrong. See, what is it, faith or senses? When he said, we walk by faith, not by sight. If you can't see something, that doesn't mean it's not there. See, you might not see Jesus walking around with nail prints in his hand and scars in his feet. You might not see that, but it doesn't mean he's not here, because the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Praise God. I can't hear the cologne. What kind of sound? What kind of sound? I feel kind of a little crazy today. All right. So what kind of sound does cologne make? I can't. We're in this new place we moved to, and you can't hardly hear anything. It's like we're insulated. It's crazy quiet. It's amazingly quiet. It's almost restorative, redemptive quiet. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? I can't hear that cologne, so I could take the sense of my hearing and say, well, I can't prove that it's there because I can't hear it. So it must not be there. See, sometimes God does something for you and me, and we use one sense or two senses to confirm its presence. And then if those senses can't confirm its presence, then we say, well, then it must not have happened, because I don't see it. I don't hear it. I don't smell it. Wait a minute. Don't you love it when you visit somebody and their dog comes to check you out? Yeah. Hi, this is my Rottweiler. His name is Fred. And he's the local FBI. And you want to hit him with a karate chop, but you want your hand back. So, yes. Back of the dog is dog. Front of the dog is Mr. Dog. Yes. Good to be here, I think. Being checked out. So I can't hear the cologne. I can't see the cologne. I can't feel the cologne. I can't touch the cologne, but I can. One of my five senses, I can smell it. And faith is like that sense, that sixth sense, when you can't see it. When you can't feel it. I don't feel healed. Guess what? You're going to be healed before you feel it. Did you know that? You're going to be healed before it's all relayed to all your sensory apparatus. If you're waiting for your senses to direct your life, you're going to be one mixed up puppy. And that's why he gave us the word of God. Because the word of the Lord is more stable than your senses. The word of God is more stable than what you can see or hear or feel or touch or taste. It has dominance over the five senses. It's not sensory knowledge. The word of God is revelation knowledge. So it's not sensory knowledge that directs us or should dominate us. It should be word of God, revelation knowledge that we build our life on. Lift your hand. Let's ask God to give us grace for that. Thank you, Brother Scott. Oh, praise God. Could it be the Lord? The Lord has done something for you. The Lord is doing something for you. And you can't feel it yet, but your feelings can lie to you. Oh, in Jesus' name, I speak a blessing over the church. I speak a blessing over our live stream, folks. I speak a blessing over our church right here, right now. I speak a blessing of peace and power and victory. And it's here, whether you can see it or hear it or feel it or taste it or touch it, because the word of God tells us now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I choose to live and walk by the word of God and not by my senses. Woo! Is that okay to preach like this? Hallelujah. And they brought the sons of Jesse out. And Samuel spoke of wanting to anoint a king. Had to set the stage, have a feast, kind of have a little cover story, because he knew his life was in danger if he said something at the wrong time. And so the sons, the oldest sons, are passing by before him, and he feels no leading of the Spirit to name them as the next king. And finally he said, are there no more? Because they've gone through six. And daddy speaks up and says, oh, yeah, the little guy. David's out in the fields, and he's a shepherd, and he's busy, and you know, he's cute and sweet, but he's just a little fella, and he's just a teenager. And so the prophet says, we won't sit down until you bring him thence. Bring him here, because I believe, you know, this might be who we're looking for. Something like this, that's the story goes. They're in Samuel, for Samuel 16. And so they bring Samuel and the Holy Ghost, or they bring David, and the Holy Ghost shows Samuel, this is the one. Though he was the youngest, and he was ruddy and of a good countenance, and good, you know, just he was attractive, and he had some certain wonderful spirit and attitude about him. The man of God, the prophet, began to anoint him with oil. But if you looked, he said, "Now, hey, don't look. If you're thinking that this is going to be the way that somebody appears, it's not about." And you know how many billions of dollars are spent trying to sell us products to make us look good. We can get so caught up in that world, just wanting to look good. You know what I'm saying? David wasn't going to look like a king. Don't go by sight. In other words, don't judge by sight. In the New Testament, Jesus says, judge not according to appearance. Judge not according to appearance. Don't let your eyes mess you over. Don't let your sensory apparatus. I've got a car that's got sensors in it that drive me a crazy. Because they go off at the strangest times. Garage doors up. It's around midnight. And something set off my alarm system in my neighborhood a year or two ago. And it is so crazy to be embarrassed. And I hope everybody was in their third Technicolor nightmare, because, you know, it's around midnight and my car is just acting like somebody was trying to break into it. And they were. It was the owner. Praise God. And the sensors are not... I think this was the first edition of this kind of stuff in the Lincoln MKX. I'm not sure, but I think it was. But I'm just saying to you that if you live a sensory life, you know, the sensors misfire in my car often. They fire up when they shouldn't be. The lights, the other day, my wife said, honey, the lights didn't go out. They will. They'll just, you know, they're just kind of funny. They're on a certain sensor. And so hours later, she went out to the garage. Those lights were still on. And, you know, you can't do that without running your battery down. So I thought, it's my car. It has to do with the sensors. Well, I had left the light circle thing, you know, a little bit on there for the parking lights. It wasn't the car's fault. But many times the lights will stay on when they're, it used to scare Ember. My car's lights used to scare Ember. Daddy, the lights, I don't know how to... She drove the Ford Edge, and the lights wouldn't go out for her. And she told me, Dad, it kind of frightened her, you know, the light. Would to God we'd get our lights on and keep them on. You know what I mean? Let your light so shine, not blink. Praise God. Let your light so shine before men. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'm telling you that if we live a life dictated by sensory apparatus, if we live by our eyes, our ears, what we can feel, we'll have a messed up life. But we're not called to do that. We're called to walk by faith. Woo! If we're not careful, can I be bold? Can I be a little bit bold? And then I'll go back to being vanilla. If we're not careful, We can have more faith in a virus than we do the power of God. Now, all that being said, just know this. I'm not denouncing or criticizing carefulness. You wouldn't believe the work that we do behind the scenes to make sure that we can be here and we can have a great service. We take that seriously. Yes, we do. So I'm not denigrating that at all. I'm just telling you that the way that the news, and they never talk about faith. Did you notice that? The New York Times, the liberal New York Times, they never encourage you to believe God. As a matter of fact, this awesome young lady that will probably become the next Supreme Court justice, from what I understand, she's got the Holy Ghost. And because she talks in tongues, some of them are calling her nuts. Well, if that's what nuts is, then count me in. Hallelujah. Because I've been talking in tongues for over 40-some years, and I intend to keep on doing it. Oh, praise God. If you have the Holy Ghost, raise your hand and give God a shout. Thank God for the baptism of the Spirit of God. We're not living by sensory knowledge. We're not living dictated to by the flesh. So listen to these words the great apostle wrote in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4, and he's kind of explaining what kind of ministry he had. He said, "In my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." That your faith, verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Again, you don't offend me by being careful. I'd rather you be careful than not so. And I know there's a second wave going through the country, and so I'm tightening up on my carefulnesses. I'm telling you, that's smart. God doesn't want us to be stupid. God wants us to be wise. But while we're doing all that, the basic motivating factor in our life should not be what the scientists are saying and what the doctors are saying. And God bless their merry hearts. I'm telling you, there's a law that supersedes their law. Hallelujah. There's something that's above the senses. There's something above sight, above hearing and touch and taste. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's the power of God. And Pentecostals ought to understand how to operate under the power of the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands. Let's love Him and bless His name. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I worship you for your power. I worship you for your delivering power. I worship you, Lord, for your healing power. I worship you. Paul wrote by the Holy Ghost and said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in, what did he say? But in the power of God. I want your faith not to be grounded in what the so-called experts are saying. You know what an expert is, right? He's a man 50 miles from home with a briefcase. You didn't get that. See me after the altar call. Let's continue to be circumspect. But I want to tell you this. Panic never honors God. Panic never honors God. There is something to be said about the power of faith. Hallelujah. And he said, I want you to walk by faith. Is anybody walking by faith? I got to tell you about a guy. He's used a lot at Bethel, where a lot of the great music we know comes from. Holy Ghost filled guy, has a healing ministry. And he has a lot of unusual faith. And he was out with his family camping. And they got out on, I think it was, sort of like a hillside type deal. And it looked really great, except when they had studied the weather reports, there was supposed to be rain falling. So this guy is known for his unusual faith. So he lives, he's got his family there. He lifts up his hands and he sort of draws a circle around them, like he was putting up a tent over them. He sort of does this thing in the name of Jesus. And they go to bed. And it rains that night, but not one drop fell on him or his family. It was like a canopy was over them. It rained all around them, but none of it fell on them. I'm going to tell you what, God wants to do some things. Lift your hand. Let's ask God, Lord, operate in me, move in me, work in me, flow in me. Let the power of God, let the power of faith, supernatural faith, operate in us. Dear God, in the downpour of craziness, Lord, there is a protection under the hand of God. There is a protection in the presence of God. There are protections in the mercies of God that we can plug into in childlike faith. Woo! I used to say this when you're traveling as evangelists. You have to have a lot of gumption. That's how I function. But you can't go out there faint of heart and live on the road by faith, because the road will eat you up. That evangelistic ministry is only, you just got to know that you're supposed to be out there doing that and that you have faith to operate and circumstances, but the gas would go up, and it's like, wow. And when we would notice that something became more expensive, almost, and you might remember this, Sister Beautiful, praise God, me saying this from time to time, when we'd notice that the gas went up, I'd say, well, our offerings are going up. Praise God. Our income is going up. Oh, praise God. I'd balance it out. Well, God's blessing's going up. Thank you, Jesus. God's blessing us. And that is exactly what happened. That is exactly what happened. It wasn't even just the fact that we'd preach and minister and pray some folks through and get some folks healed and different things like that, but that people sometimes would grab my hand, and when I brought it back to me, there'd be like two $100 bills in it. Could I shake again, please? Would you like to shake again? Oh, praise God. I'm just saying that God, I'll never forget, you've heard me tell about being at Brother Yant's church and sitting up there, the great man, great visionary, great soul winner, helped launch the Bible study ministry. But in this last church that he founded, I'm sitting just probably a foot from him, and it's offering time, and I'm pulling out something humble, I'm sure, but I want to be a part of the offering. And all of a sudden, he throws a few $100 bills at me. Just drops them in my lap. Well, I'm thankful for 50 cents. Somebody gives me a pencil, I want to say thank you. I don't, and those of you, these beautiful cards, I try to get back to everybody specifically. I don't think I made it this time. But anything, the cards, I don't anticipate that. I don't go to church thinking, oh boy, it's Father's Day, or oh boy, it's my birthday. Well, I just don't go thinking like that. Brother Dinkins has been so thoughtful behind the scenes. And so I am thankful for everything. But there's that man of God throwing money at us when he didn't need to, wasn't supposed to. It was offering time for his. I'm just telling you that God, listen, he owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's a lot of hamburgers, folks. And sacred cows make great hamburgers. You understand what I'm saying? Sacred cows make great hamburgers. But he owns all the taters underneath those hills as well. Oh, thank you, God. And he can figure out, he can come to us in creative ways and meet needs. Is that all right to talk about this? Because if we just listen to what our eyes tell us, and we listen to what our ears tell us, and we take what we feel. Oh, feelings can become deities, idols in our thinking. Well, I feel this or I feel that. I want to ask you something. How did Job feel the day he lost it all but his complaining wife? And she says to him, Job, curse God and die. And he said, he was bold. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I have the boldness to speak to my wife like he spoke to his, but anyway, we never have an argument. We just have warm conversations. I'm sorry. I dedicate that to the live stream people. But anyway, he said, "You talk like a foolish woman." And then he went on to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Praise God. And though the skin worms destroy my body, I know I'm going to stand in the last day. My Redeemer liveth. I'm going to stand in the last day with him. He said some things. He wasn't going by what he felt or what he saw or what he heard or what he tasted or touched. He was going by revelation knowledge. And God visited him and gave him twice as much as he had before. When you read the last chapter of Job, the blessing of God is on him. Why don't you jump up right now and clap your hands for the blessings that are moving in your direction if you choose to believe the word of God. Woo! He said, "I am come that they might have life." He was talking about us. "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Woo! In Jesus' name, thank you for abundance of joy. You can dance in a pandemic. You can burst out in a brand new tongue in the spirit if you believe it. You can be healed in the middle of a crisis. Love on him right now with me, would you? In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for days when you search us out and you hear what we say. And you register, you see our thoughts. And sometimes before we even ask for something, you figured out how to get it to us. You may be seated. I'm almost done. Hebrews 11:6. I often think of the scripture, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now I'm gonna shoot a sacred cow right now, because I love hamburgers. To my wife, does your husband love hamburgers? We go to a restaurant. I don't know if y'all been to BJ's. Well, it's a neat place to go to. And what I normally get is not a steak, and I do respect, I have reverence for a steak, but they have a guacamole burger that's made to die for. Hallelujah. I don't have to pray. I don't have to fast 3 days. Lord, show me what to order at BJ's. I know what I'm going to order because I've had it so many times. And it's flat amazing. But I want to give somebody some confidence if I can. Okay. I knew Brother Hernandez. He was a personal friend of mine for many years. How many of you ever heard him preach? Oh, and then some of us went out to hear him teach on how to receive the Holy Ghost. Of course, Kathy with her saxophone. I don't know if anybody can play the saxophone like Kathy Hernandez. Just, we had them, I know, once in one of our old churches for 3 nights. And when she would play her saxophone, there was like a prophetic anointing that fell on her and on the church. Brother Hernandez was very gifted in the spirit, a deep, deep man. And he went to a conference. There were people there that should not have been there, that were sick and even had fevers. And there was a gentleman that sat across the table, I've been told this, that had a fever as he sat there at the table with Brother Hernandez. That was connected, of course, the fever to COVID. They should not have even been in the building. Okay, so The part that I would like you to understand is the enemy can get you to use somebody as a default. Like, well, if something bad happened to them, I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can be healed. I don't know. The story with Brother Hernandez is when this happened to him, it was right at the breaking of COVID and what was happening in our country, and we had no knowledge. We had actually, in the last few weeks, I've talked to different people, and they basically told me that somewhere in December or January, they believed they had COVID-19, but they didn't know what it was. They just knew whatever it was. It was nasty. It was mean. But they had no name for it. And Brother Hernandez was struck with this before we had much information, before we had much understanding of what we were dealing with. And if he had had a chance, it's like if I could use a little bit of a probably an MMA maybe term, I think he was sucker punched, frankly. Have you ever seen somebody they didn't see the punch coming and it hit them, and I mean they just didn't see it coming, and all of a sudden they're on the mat and they're totally knocked out. They just didn't see the punch coming. That's basically what happened to Eli Hernandez. This is what I would tell you is the truth in my heart from what I know. If we knew then what we know now, he would still be alive. It wasn't his fault. You understand what I'm saying? It was just breaking on the scene. It was just a rapidly developing story. And since then, all kinds of scientific papers written and experiments. Here's the president. You know, he's one of a kind. And I know he has a lot of growing to do. And I know that there's nobody maybe that can start a fight faster. I'm sorry. I pray for him. And I love him. I see his deficiencies, and I pray for him that God will continue to work in. But he loves the church. He loves the church. Hallelujah. He loves to help make things work. But here he is all of a sudden. I mean, he's in the midst of all this craziness, and then he's coming out of it. And one of the things about him that just amazes me is how he can take a punch. Some of us, we get love tapped, and we thought we got, you know, punched into next year or something. This guy just keeps getting up off the mat. You got to give him some credit. If you can't give him cash, give him a little bit of credit, okay? He's just something else. I mean, this impeachment business was a hoax. The Russia deal was the Russian hoax. All kinds of stuff. People coming at him on a daily basis, and he just keeps getting up off the mat. That preaches to me about what kind of walk we can have in God if we really want it. Get back up. Get back up. Don't let something take you out. You have the right to make a decision about it. What you decide, what you feel about it. There's something more important than even your feelings. I believe God's with me. I believe his hand is on me. Oh, praise God. I'm bouncing back. I say that every so often. I'm bouncing back. I have a tough day, I start saying this, I'm bouncing back. If you got around me, you'd probably think I'm crazy. Maybe I am. I hope not, but I'm crazy in love with Jesus, and I don't believe that God gets glory when we lay around and mope, soak in self-pity, and complain about the fact that we're living in a pandemic. My God's power is real in the midst of a pandemic, and he's called you and he's called me to live not by my senses, but by the ever-living, loving word of God, which is revelation knowledge. Lift your heart up with me right now. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. I've got your word. I've got your promise, Lord. Like that translation of 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight, living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises. I believe your promises, Lord. I'll tell you something else we've learned since Eli Hernandez's passing. The danger of ventilators. And with all due respect, there are some beautiful family members. They made decisions and they had the right to make the decisions that they made. But now we look back and we realize, oh my goodness, I'm hearing that ventilators can sometimes do a terrible number on your lungs. That wasn't Eli Hernandez's fault. That wasn't his lack of faith. He got sucker punched out, and people are trying to operate with limited knowledge. I'm just telling you, I don't believe it's the will of God for you or me to use him as a default case. Well, since something happened to him that I don't. You have a Bible. You have promises. I know this enough about Eli. If it had been a normal run of things and he had his wits and his clarity about him, he would have fought this thing off and been healed, and he'd be probably preaching here this year to us. Spoke at our camp, had him do our devotionals. Amazing man of God. But he would be embarrassed if he came back to learn that you're using his story so you can have verification for your sickness. That's an insult to the memory of a powerful man of God. Can I preach like that? Understand, I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just telling you that sometimes the enemy uses that. I knew him. He was my friend, and his heart would be hurt if he knew that you were using his story to confirm your illness or your weakness or your lack of victory. It's really quiet, but I know I'm preaching the mind of God. Yeah. And the ventilators, you know, I'm told, I've not done tremendous research, but that they harden the lungs. And this is what they had him on for weeks and weeks. And they were just trying to make the decisions as best they saw to do it. And actually kept him alive for months longer than maybe what he would have lived. But if we knew then what we know now, it would have been a different story. Don't use him as your default setting for a lack of victory, because it doesn't hold water. Saying that, I want to tell you about a man who was pastoring in South Africa. And in his day, there was a horrendous plague that came through that country. I'm not sure what they called it except plague, but when I read of it, it reminded me of the plague of Europe hundreds of years ago. Just something so, so dangerous and so scary. And to show you how just paralyzing it was, he ended up burying over 40 of his church people. Can you imagine the toll that took on his heart to bury any of your church folks? But he was so like overwrought and heartbroken. And he was sitting, and I believe when this happened, he was in his church. And I believe when it happened, he was in his church office. When the Holy Ghost moved in that office and quickened a verse of scripture to him. It was just one verse. Okay? He'd been dealing with the effects of a terrible plague in his city and in his country. And God brought this verse to his attention from Acts 10, verse 38. We know 2:38, but how about Acts 10:38? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. You see that? You see that healing all business? That's revelation knowledge. That's not sensory knowledge. That didn't come from hearing and seeing and touching and feeling and smelling. And healing all. I wish somebody would jump up and yell that back at me. Healing all. Does that cover your case? I think so. As they say in the Deep South, I think it covers my case. I think it covers your case. I think it covers our case. He read that. He opened his Bible and the Holy Ghost, as it were, fell on him. And that verse just jumped up off the pages, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. I don't think he'd ever really noticed that verse. You know how when you're reading the word and you'll see a verse, but there's a certain day when you read it and it's like it's quickened to you from the Spirit of God and it becomes the living word. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It is the spirit that quickeneth, he said. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And so he drowned himself, as it were. He swam in that verse and in his power. And he decided, I'm going to church. And I'm going to pray over our people, and God is going to stop this plague. Do you know that's the last person that died in his church from that plague? Oh, hallelujah. That man of God began to pray for people. Actually, God gave him a healing ministry when he took one verse of scripture and decided, I'm going to walk in this verse. I'm going to live in this verse. I'm going to practice this promise. God healed everybody all the way through until the plague was over. And nobody else in his congregation perished from the plague when the man of God took one word and decided to walk in it. What would he do for us? Lift your hands with me as we soften the lights and Brother Thad comes. I just want to challenge you. He loves you. If a God that pays attention to a preacher who's thinking in his mind sure could use some mints, you've got a lot of things a lot more important than that. And his eye is on you. Praise God. His ears pick up your heartbeat. He walks at your house. He lives around you. And he knows the pains that you carry and the heartbreak. And he's available to visit us in his power. Wonderful God. Would you send up a white flag maybe, you know, like a hand that says lifted over here, Holy Ghost. Over here.